Christ Chapel. Hopefully my microphone will be welcome to Christ Chapel here in a moment. So good, thank you. On this day, united with Christians around the world, we mark Jesus' triumphant entry into the holy city of Jerusalem to complete the work of our salvation. We follow in his footsteps as we enter the church, our Jerusalem, claiming the one whose throne was the cross. In today's gospel reading, we hear the passion narrative of Jesus suffering death. The movement of this day, from shouts of praise to words of denial and cries for crucifixion, it mirrors the path of discipleship. The lives of Jesus' followers hang in the balance between faithfulness and betrayal. For Peter, the act of denial is subtle and insidious. He claims not to know Jesus. He claims to have no place as his disciple. On the surface, it's seemingly harmless. It happens, and then it's over in a moment. In reality, the harm is deep and lasting. Subtle but harmful denial happens in a split second as disciples compromise faith for the sake of self-protection, as they are too embarrassed to give thanks as someone knows how to help, but fails to do so because it's inconvenient. While Peter withholds everything for his own sake, Jesus, for the sake of others, withholds nothing. As disciples fail to claim their place with Jesus, Jesus' embrace claims them. From the cross, Jesus offers mercy wide enough to claim even those who do not know they do. Welcome to worship this morning. Your hymns for this day, for those visiting for the first time, will be in this red hymnal, the ELW, at various times in the service. Please do take note that our hymns will be selected from there. Also today, we'll be celebrating the sacrament of Holy Communion. Those who find Jesus being present in the body and blood and in the bread and the wine are welcome to attend. With that being said, in commemoration of our Palm Sunday, those who are willing and able, we would like to invite you to stand and join us by the baptismal font for our palm procession part of the service. So again, those who are able, we invite you to stand and join us by the baptismal font on the north end of Christ Chapel. Let's go. We'll begin on page number 2 of the white pamphlet that you received as you came in, the white pamphlet that you received in chapel this morning. Page number 2. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. After he had said this, Jesus went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethpage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Tie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds and power they had seen. They said, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. We praise you, O God, for redeeming the world through our Savior Jesus Christ. Today he entered the holy city in triumph and was proclaimed Messiah and King by those who spread garments and branches along his way. Bless these branches and those who carry them. Grant us grace to follow our Lord in the way of the cross, so that joined in his death and resurrection, we enter into life with you. Through the same Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us go forth in peace. In the name of Christ, amen.
mercy, and might, in the mystery of the passion of your Son, you offer your infinite life to the world. Gather us around the cross of Christ and preserve us until the resurrection through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated.
Our first reading for today comes from Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 through 9. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear, to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me, who will declare me guilty. All of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm this morning is Psalm 31, and we are going to read it responsively, meaning you need to find your red hymnal and look for Psalm 31, which is about a third of the way through the hymnal near the front. Psalms are the ancient hymns of the in the Jewish tradition, so they're listed as hymns as well. So 31, if we're going to start with verse 9 and read through 16, I will begin with 9, and you will respond with 10, and so forth. Psalm 31. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed with sorrow, and also my throat and my belly.
For my life is wasted in grief, and my years with sighing. My strength fails me because of affliction, and my bones are consumed with grief.
I am the scorn of all my enemies, a disgrace to my neighbors, a dismay to my when they see me in the street, they avoid me.
Like the dead, I am forgotten, out of mind. I am as useless as a broken pot.
For I have heard the whispering of the crowd. Fear is all around. They put their heads together against me. They plot to take my life.
As for me, I have trusted in you, O Lord. I have said, you are my God.
My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me.
Let your face shine upon your servants. Save me in your steadfast love.
Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading comes from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God had also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Holy Wisdom, Holy Word.
Jesus to them. They were greatly pleased and agreed to give him money, so he consented and began to look for an opportunity to betray him, to when there was no crowd present. Then came the day of unleavened bread, which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying,
"Go and prepare the Passover meal for us that we may eat it."
They asked him,
"Where do you want us to make preparations for it?"
"Listen, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, already furnished. Make preparations for us there."
So they went and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When the hour came, he took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them,
"I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God."
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said,
"Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes."
Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying,
"This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying,
"This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed."
They then began to ask one another which one of them could have been the one who would do this. Dispute also arose among them as to which one of them would be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them,
"The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred it on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded you sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers."
And Peter said to him,
"Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and death."
Jesus Jesus said,
I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied three times that you know me.
He said to them,
when I sent you out without a purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?
They said,
no.
He said to them,
but now the one who has a purse must take it, and likewise a bag. And the one who has no sword must sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you, this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was counted among the lawless. And indeed, what is written about me is being fulfilled.
They said,
Look, here are two swords.
He replied,
it is enough.
He came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When they reached the place, he said to them,
pray that you may not come into the time of trial.
Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed.
Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done.
Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. When he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief, and he said to them,
why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial.
While he was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading him. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him,
Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man?
When those who were around him saw what was coming, they asked,
Lord, should we strike with the sword?
Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said,
no more of this.
And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come for him,
have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness.
Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled the fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said,
this man also was with him.
But he denied it, saying,
woman, I do not know him.
A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said,
you also are one of them.
But Peter said,
man, I am not.
Then about an hour later, still another kept insisting,
surely this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean.
But Peter said,
man, I do not know what you are talking about.
At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who were holding Jesus began to mock him and beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him,
prophecy, who is this that struck you?
They kept heaping many other insults at him. When the day came, the assembly of the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, gathered together, and they brought him to their council. They said,
if you are the Messiah, tell us.
He replied,
if I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God.
All of them asked,
are you then the Son of God?
He said to them,
you say that I am.
Then they said,
what further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips.
Then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying,
we found this man converting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, the king.
Are you the king of the Jews?
He answered,
You say so.
Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds,
I find no basis for an accusation against this man.
But they were insistent and said,
He stirs up the people by his teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee where he began even to this place.
When Pilate heard this, he asked them whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at the time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time, because he had heard about him and was hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod with his soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then he put an elegant robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the elders, and the people, and said to them,
You brought this man as one who was perverting the people. And here I have examined him in your presence, and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he has sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him.
Then they all shouted out together,
Away with this fellow! Release Barabbas for us!
This was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting,
Crucify him! Crucify him!
A third time, Pilate said to them,
Why, what evil has he done? I have found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him.
But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over as they wished. As they led him away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of people followed him, and among him were women who had been beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said,
Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. But they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us, for they do this when the wood is green. But what will happen when it is dry?
Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said,
Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.
And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying,
He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one.
The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying,
If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself.
There was also an inscription over him, This is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying,
Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us.
But the other rebuked him, saying,
Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence and condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.
Then he said,
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Jesus replied,
Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.
It was now about noon. Darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then
Then Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said,
Father, into your hands I commend my spirit.
Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said,
Certainly this man was innocent.
And when all the crowds who had gathered there for the spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph, who, though a member of the council, had not agreed to their plan in action. He came from the Jewish town called Arimathea, and he was waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The woman who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath day, they rested according to the commandment.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing the call to return to the Lord, let us join the whole people of God in prayer for all who cry out in pain and in hope. But with all who wave palm branches and walk the road to the cross, for the mission of the gospel, where your church is forgotten, for the disciples wrestling with betrayal, for all who seek the Lord, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. Renew the waters of the earth and restore us to the right relationship with all creation. For villages without access to clean water, for cities with an abundance, for floodlands and droughtlands, let us pray. Have God. End human trafficking in every nation, for children taken from their families, for men and women without hope, for governments and nonprofits seeking resolutions, let us pray. Hear us, O God. Comfort the afflicted, for those imprisoned, for those waiting on death row, for all overwhelmed by sorrow, and for all who live with disease, chronic pain, and anxiety in this world. Let us pray. Hear us, O God. Enrich the children and youth of our congregation with an abundance of your Spirit. For each child in our community, for parents and guardians, for confirmation mentors and faith formation leaders, let us pray. Hear us, O God. Sustain the weary, for all who mourn and for all who yearn to be with you in paradise, for funeral home staff, for hospital chaplains and grief counselors, let us pray. Hear us, O God. To you, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your boundless mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
The peace of God is with you all.
And also with you.
Please share the sign of peace with those around you.
Let us pray.
Gracious God, our Father and Mother, for the labors, the love, and the care that gave us the delights of this and every day, we say, thanks be to God. For the nourishment of our spirit, the challenges that strengthen us, and the friends we have on the journey, we say, thanks be to God. For all that fills our lives, for these good gifts, we say, thanks be to God. Overflowing with gratitude, let us say, thanks be to God. Amen. People of God, people of life, we gather as a holy communion for a meal that has been shared countless times in countless places and in countless ways. The first time this meal was shared, Jesus gathered around a table with a ragged collection of people, outcasts, betrayers, the power hungry, and fragile, lonely, lost. The first time this meal was celebrated, Jesus promised that it was for all time, that whenever the bread was broken and wine was poured, wherever the story was told around a table, he would be there. Today we remember the story as it's been told thousands of times over. We eat the bread and we drink the wine, and we affirm that we all belong at this table and that Jesus is here. So, if we come to this table angry, let this bread and wine be our peace. If we come to the table broken, let this bread and wine be our grace. If we come to the table betrayed, let this bread and wine be our wholeness. If we come to the table in despair, let this bread and wine be our life. For this is a holy table, with food to fill a hungry world and wine to quench thirsty hearts. Thanks be to God. When Jesus ate with his friends, he took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Each time you do this, remember me." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, passed it to his friends, saying, "Drink. This cup poured out for you is the promise of God. Whenever you drink it, remember me." We remember Jesus' death and resurrection, our hope and our life. We break the bread and share one cup. Thanks be to God. Let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We will commune again by method of intinction. Before me here, there is bread, and there is also gluten-free wafers. You can take whichever is your particular choice. You receive, and then there will be the chalice here. There is grape juice, which is the lighter colored substance, and there is wine, which is the darker colored substance. You will take your bread or your gluten-free wafer, and you will dip it into whichever is your choice. Once again, all are welcome. Please be seated.
Please rise. I'll invite you to join me in our post-communion prayer. O God, we thank you for gathering and feeding us as a mother hen embraces her young. Release us now to go on our way in these 40 days, ready to see our work as prayer, ready to fast from complacency, and ready to share with those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Friends, a few very brief announcements. First and foremost, as always, it is so good to see you this morning, especially as we journey these days of Holy Week together. May your Holy Week be filled with life in its fullness as we journey towards the cross and the tomb and life everlasting. Please do note that we do have some snacks afterwards if you do want to stick around and you have some time. It's always fun to relax together and have some conversation, and so please feel free to stay with us. And also a word of gratitude for everyone that took part in our service today, our those of you right next to me, and of course our glorious musicians who beautified our service. Thank you so much. Go in peace, people of God, people of life. Go in peace to love and serve. Thanks be to God. Amen.